Buying or selling a home can be challenging, but it doesn't have to be. Heritage Realty makes buying and selling easy. With Heritage Realty, you get local market expertise, one-on-one service, and the support of a network of agents across the area. Heritage Realty cares about the details and goes above and beyond to deliver the service you need. Knowledge is power. Trust Heritage Realty to buy or sell your home. For the newest listings and detailed market reports, visit heritagerealtyknox.com. Heritage Realty, where today's technology meets traditional customer service.
All right, yesterday there has been speculation and concern about Josh Heupel possibly taking the Oklahoma job. So yesterday, Josh Heupel, and I will say full disclosure, reached out to Tennessee football, reached out to EA and asked Eric, hey, can we, Heupel, come on, put these rumors to rest. So this is what Josh Heupel had to say on the Eric Ainge show yesterday about Tennessee and possible openings at other places.
Yeah, as you build a successful program with your staff and players, certainly, your name has an opportunity to come up for different openings. For myself and my family, we absolutely love Knoxville, and we came to Tennessee because of the power of the T, believed in the power of the fan base and the opportunity to build something extremely special. It's a program that's top 10 in the history of college football wins and first round draft picks, and had been through, some uncertainty in recent times, but we love being in Knoxville. That's home for us. I love being in the building with our staff and our players. And I know, feel stronger today than I did 10 months ago when I first took the job about what we're going to be able to do and how quickly we're going to be able to get there. I know we're building a championship caliber football team and program, and excited to continue on that venture with our current players and staff.
Coach, we appreciate everything you're doing, and we know that every time there's an opening in the future, your name, you're going to be like, you'll be like Mike Gundy, but better. Every time there's an opening, everyone's, oh, is he going to go? Is he going to go? So what I heard you say is you're staying at Tennessee and coaching football, yeah? For this year, for now.
Yeah, we absolutely love Tennessee and believe what we're going to be building here, and can't be happier and more excited about what we're going to be able to do next year and in the coming years.
Good on EA kind of putting that, making sure to try to nail it down. Hey, so you're saying you're not leaving, right? Because it kind of just talked about how great Tennessee was as opposed to saying, I'm not going anywhere, right? So
yeah, and I mean, there's some glass half empty ears out there, and I understand the doubt because, again, this has happened to your favorite team before. Okay?
Yeah, and keep the cup on always.
Yeah, so I do get it, but it's I heard that, and I was kind of like, well, what else do you want him to say? Sure, you want him to come out and say, I am not going to take that head coaching job.
Although, does that matter? Yeah. Because I'm not going to be Alabama coach unless the fairy godmother. We just got that this season 2 weeks ago. Unless the fairy godmother comes with $250 million.
And I mean, who knows if Oklahoma has or would or even was going to reach out to Josh Heupel. It's just speculation on this part. So, good on him for wanting to come on the show, kind of address that. He did say yes, when asked if you were, going to be coaching here next year. Josh Heupel responded by saying yes. And I think it put a lot of people at ease yesterday. A lot of people were able to sit back and take a sigh of relief.
And look, I do think this. I don't think Oklahoma's going to offer Josh Heupel, and I don't think Josh Heupel would take it if they did offer.
Not while Bob Stoops is there. Excuse me.
So that's kind of the situation that you're in. I think you can feel better about it. I don't think you have to worry about it right now. Mm-hmm. And it's a weird spot to say that Tennessee right now has stability and a lot of other places don't.
It really is. I mean, you got Tennessee fans just sitting back and watching Oklahoma and all the tweets saying, I've never seen a program just been completely turned upside down in the span of, a couple hours. And Tennessee fans are like, excuse me? What? Lane Kiffin? Excuse me? Jeremy Pruitt last year? It's just kind of wild. And so you learn to appreciate, the coaches you do have on campus. Right? Tennessee's got some good coaches on campus now with Rick Barnes, Tony Vitello. I think, Kelly Harper with the Lady Vols. And, of course, Josh Heupel, I think, is off to a really, really good start. And I think Tennessee's administration is doing a really, really good job right now, too. So it is interesting sitting back and being a spectator and commenting instead of reacting in real time to, okay, what's going to go next? How's this going to affect our job? How's this going to affect our livelihood for the team we all follow and, cheer for in terms of the fans?
You want to know how dumb, though, colleges can be at times?
Very dumb. I know that. Let me fill the blank there.
The fact that you've gone this long without making that right with Josh Heupel at Oklahoma is stupid. And the fact that, and let's be very real. You know what the immediate adult thought process should be as far as I want to be as successful as I humanly can be? One, you want to make that right because what Josh Heupel meant to your program, right? So you would have wanted to make that right years ago. Two, the easy, I'm just going to be real. If I was the AD, and I'm not saying they should do it, and I'm not saying they're going to do it. I'll say they should do it. They're not going to do it. And I don't think he's leaving if they do, because again, there's bad blood there. You go off for Josh Heupel this job if you're Oklahoma. Like, that's what a responsible adult who's looking out for the best interests of Oklahoma, not their ego, goes and does. One, you'd have already made sure the relationship was better somewhere down the line. Two, when Lincoln Riley left, you just said, "No, no big deal. We'll call Josh Heupel, and we'll just lay the blank check in front of him until it's enough money where he wants to come back home."
I mean, he wouldn't have been my first call though at all.
Well, you make Bob Stoops tell you no first, and yeah. Then from there, you to me the second guy I call is Josh Heupel. He's been there. People love him. He's beloved by the fan base, and he's good. And so that's also why. Because I'm gonna go hire Brent Venables. You know what I mean? No, you got to be like or Josh Heupel. Which one am I gonna hire?
Matt Campbell.
If Matt Campbell will take the job, that would be different. If I was Matt Campbell, I would not take that job. Because again, 10-2 is a disappointment. People are mad at you. Yeah. So that is why I would not take that job if I was Campbell. Now, if I did the Notre Dame job, he seems to want the Notre Dame job. I would have taken a job a long time ago. I would have taken the Texas job 2 years ago if I was Matt Campbell. Because all you got to do is just not be god-awful at Texas, I think, right now. And they're going to, you know, they'll build a statue for you. But this is where this is the problem that happened at Tennessee. And it's the problem that happens at other schools. And it's the problem with why Notre Dame's, unless they can somehow land Luke Fickle, is probably going to, or Matt Campbell, it's probably going to screw this up, is that the ego gets involved and things like that. One, you don't try to just make the relationships right, but it's about everybody's ego. Because again, the easiest no-brainer thing in the entire world. I always say this about coaching hires, and it's why I kept saying over and over again, all those coaching hires for Tennessee weren't going to work. When Heupel got hired, I said, that was going to work. What would the stupidest person you know do when it comes to hiring a coach for the school? I think if you just went and did that, what's the, like literally the biggest doofus you know, what would they do when it comes to hiring a coach? And if you just go do that, it's going to work out for you. If you just looked at the records or looked what somebody's doing around the nation and say, let me go hire them, more often than not, it's going to work out. But when we start saying, well, the relationships, this and that, and does he know the lay of the land, Heupel had all of that. So it's stupid that they're not, that they, one, haven't already worked it out with Heupel, two, aren't offering him the job, but good for Tennessee and good for Heupel. And if I was Heupel right now, I wouldn't leave for the Oklahoma job.
There are people in Baton Rouge right now, fans that are upset because, you know, they don't know if Brian Kelly likes gumbo. This is real life. Like, number one, if you're going to be worried about Brian Kelly, be worried about some of his stuff in his past. Number two, you know, who cares?
Yeah.
If he can coach football, who cares? It doesn't, you don't have to fit in culture-wise. Sure, it helps. But, I mean, there's a lot of people that can, you know, fit in and learn to fit in.
Well, Nick Saban's from West Virginia. What kind of culture fits that with Alabama?
Yeah, I mean, it's not.
No.
And so just go coach football, win games.
Brian Kelly is a scumbag of a human being that flips people off from the sidelines. And, like, while he's in the middle of a game... And he's at a Catholic school that's incredibly conservative. There is no cultural fit there with them.
Exactly. So, I mean, who really cares? And when Josh Heupel came on the program and you heard it just a couple of minutes ago and says, you know, me and my family, we love it here. I understand that sounds like coach speak, but, you know, going to Vol calls numerous times to get, you know, an assistant coach interview for the Vol Network this year, I've sat back and I have watched Josh Heupel come in. You know, his family will come with him. They will have a family dinner at Vol calls. He will go do his radio show. Assistant coaches and families will come, and it'll be a time to hang out.
Yeah.
I've never seen that before. And does that mean the world? No, it doesn't mean the world. It's just something small. But, you know, being out there, lining up, signing autographs, talking to fans, taking pictures, spending time, sharing that moment with your family, it's just, it's a little bit different because since I've been here, I've never seen that happen before. So I do believe that that's just one little example. He likes being here, and he wants to continue building on what he has started.
And he knows the AD he's working with.
Yeah.
He knows how to work with well. And that matters, man. That absolutely matters to make sure that your boss is somebody that you guys know how to work together. That absolutely matters. And so I think you have nothing to worry about if you're a Tennessee fan, is the bottom line.
I didn't think you had anything to worry about before yesterday, and certainly after the Eric Cain show yesterday, you definitely know.
That's Eric Cain. I'm Will West. 656-9900 is your phone number. New college football playoff rankings released yesterday. We'll tell you about them next. There is some shakeup at the top. Starting lineup on 99.1 The Sports Animal. Here's Kaner with your Tennessee Lottery Sports Update. Not surprisingly, sitting at 12-0. Michigan jumps Alabama to number 2. Bama falls to 3 with their close call against Auburn. Cincinnati at number 4. Then you have Oklahoma State, Notre Dame, 5 and 6. It's six teams for 4 spots right now as we head into championship weekend. Really competitive championship games. I mean, Georgia Bama is going to be a good game, but on top of that, Michigan against Iowa is going to be a better game than I think people realize. Iowa's still a top 15 team right now. And don't sleep on Baylor, Oklahoma State. that could absolutely be one that shakes things up as well. But it looks like right now, the college football playoff, if everything goes chalk, Georgia, Michigan, Cincinnati, Oklahoma State, right?
Yeah, that's what I believe is going to be the case. Gosh, it would be the, oh gosh, I forgot Baylor lost to TCU just a couple weeks ago. What a horrible loss. If everything goes the way it should, those should be the top four teams, or the Alabama getting out and Oklahoma State getting in. I do not have Alabama beating Georgia. It would be the most Alabama thing and the most college football thing ever for Alabama, and the most Nick Saban thing ever for Alabama to knock off Georgia, because this is the year of Georgia. But here's the thing, if that happens, these are the four teams.
Yeah.
Because Georgia's not dropping out. They've been that dominant all season long.
Well, are these the four teams? Because there are a lot of people who believe, Ed Fang, who does college athletics, college sports analytics, and really he gets called on more during college basketball than he does college football, but he does college football as well. Since there's only a 19% chance, according to his algorithm, that if Oklahoma State beats Baylor, Alabama beats Georgia, there's only a 19% chance that Cincinnati would make the top four. If Oklahoma State beats Baylor, Alabama beats Georgia, should Cincinnati still be in the top four?
Even with winning and, you know, having them drop, essentially.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean,
I would have them in. I had wins and losses have to matter. I also would say this. Georgia doesn't really have a win that particularly impresses me. Notre Dame has a better quality win than Georgia does right now. And I'm not saying you blow Georgia
Cincinnati
out of this.
Cincinnati over Notre Dame.
Yeah. So Cincinnati over Notre Dame is a more impressive win than Georgia over Arkansas.
I would agree.
Especially with an injured KJ Jefferson at the time. No, I think they would beat him with a healthy KJ Jefferson. I'm not saying that. I just think that at some point in time, we got to stop making this a beauty pageant and make it about what have you done, right? What have you accomplished? But it's not going to be that. It is going to be a beauty pageant. And I agree with Fang. I think if Alabama beats Georgia this weekend, Oklahoma State beats Baylor, I think Cincinnati's out.
Yeah, that'll be interesting. What will really be weird is if Alabama's a two-loss team and they keep them in, which would just be incredible to me. Because
especially if it's a three-point loss to Georgia.
Yeah, you can't do that. You can't do that at all. So, you know, we'll say these are the six teams for four spots. And for the first time in a long time, I mean, you actually have a group of five in Cincinnati that has an actual chance to make the top four, because I don't think we could say that in years past.
No, absolutely not. There was no chance.
And that's exciting. And so should that be the reason Cincinnati gets in? Absolutely not. I mean, it needs to have the best resume. But, I mean, it's got a win over Notre Dame. It's undefeated. And if it handles business this weekend, then I think it should be. And even if Alabama beats Georgia. But I don't think that's going to happen at all. Alabama's been so inconsistent this year in terms of its offense.
Frankly, they've looked terrible the last three games.
I mean, they're doing stuff that's just weird. I mean, remember the Tennessee game, about a month ago or whatever. You know, coming out of stoppages of play, coming out of timeouts, Alabama had like two pre-snap penalties. Like, what are you doing? That's a cardinal sin in football. How in the world are you going to have a pre-snap penalty like delays a game or something out of the stoppage of play? Like, you know, that's enough to give Nick Saban like a heart attack on the sideline. Like, what are you doing? And it's offense against LSU. The offense being shut out for essentially four quarters against Auburn, and Auburn having a backup quarterback. Give them credit for coming back in a rivalry game on the road. I get all that to force overtime and taking advantage. But Alabama's been so up and down. If we're talking about style points and all that type of stuff, I mean, Alabama's looked disgusting this year for a lot of times.
I agree. They have, especially down the stretch, they have looked especially poor. Now, the committee chair did say yesterday that Notre Dame at number six, it would be taken into consideration when it comes to filling out the final four, that Brian Kelly would not be on the sideline. And Jack Swarbrick yesterday at Notre Dame said, no, Brian Kelly will not be on the sideline for the game if we made the college football playoff.
Yeah, well, that's stupid.
For him not to be on the sideline, or for the college football playoff committee to say, we're not going to put Notre Dame in the top four because Brian Kelly's not there.
For the college football playoff committee to not put them in the top four, if they're deserving, why on earth should Brian Kelly play into a factor in this? Okay, you can't harm a team for what it's done, in my opinion.
Who are the teams that have accomplished the most? Give me the four teams that have accomplished the most, put them in the playoff, and let's go, right?
A listener reached out to me on Twitter and asked that same question yesterday, and I said, absolutely, that shouldn't play into effect. I mean, you're talking about a team here. You're talking about just one coach. I mean, the team still has a resume, right? And the fact that they said that last night just baffles me. I could not disagree more with that. I mean, if Notre Dame has the resume, Notre Dame is one of the top four teams when it's all said and done on Sunday, it deserves to be, and I don't care who's calling plays or leading that team out of the tunnel. It doesn't matter.
I completely agree with you. This is why, from moment one, when I first heard the committee chair talking week one, I think it's Iowa's AD, who's the one that's the committee chair. I just said, oh, you can't get it
right. Well, he's a moron. So.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I just thought, my first thought was, I don't think you're capable of getting this right. I don't think you, and again, there's sometimes we judge people based on not what they're doing, but what their capacity is. I don't think the committee has the capacity to get this right unless it falls in their lap.
Now, I'm not backing off, but to his defense, for those 3 weeks in a row that they put Michigan over Michigan State after Michigan State came back to defeat Michigan, and they kept on saying, well, if you look at every, I mean, his reasoning was still stupid.
It's so stupid.
Still stupid, but I mean, now it's kind of like, oh, well, you know, Michigan is one of the top
three. That fell on their lap.
But his reasoning saying, well, if you look at everything outside of the actual game on the field.
Offensive efficiency.
You don't have to. You literally don't have to. Michigan State came back and beat Michigan. They should be ahead of them. But you're right. It all settled through, and Michigan, you know, it beat Ohio State, so it's fine. But, yeah, I mean, how do people like that or groups of people like that get into leadership and decision-making positions?
It's almost like they exclusively get into leadership and decision-making
you're
places.
Always going to think that you're the right man for the job or the right woman for the job. You're always going to think you should be sitting in the corner office. I get all that. But, I mean, really? Like, what's going on there? So,
yeah, well, you know, because the world and especially our nation, we're run by people who answer email quickly and wear a Stark shirt to everything that you do. It has nothing to do with whether or not you're actually good at what you do or what you're capable of doing. It's just a matter of how quickly do you return email these days.
Well, in that regard, Eric Haynes should be president.
he never returns emails. I
don't know if he has his password or an email account set up.
All right, so most likely to get upset if we see somebody in this top six that loses in their championship weekend. Alabama, I think, loses to Georgia. We're both picking that one, right?
Yeah, yep.
That is Georgia's the 6.5-point favorite on that one, which is interesting. But give me the team that's most likely to get upset. You have Cincinnati against an awfully good Houston team that we're not talking nearly enough about this weekend. Michigan, the number 21 team in the nation, that's 11-1 themselves. Michigan against number 13, Iowa, who at a time was number 2, but they've lost a couple of games since then. And then you have Oklahoma State at number 5 against number 9, Baylor.
I would say most likely to get upset would be Michigan, in my opinion. And, I mean, I'm not ruling out Alabama beating Georgia. I'm not ruling it out because, again, it would be the most Nick Saban thing ever. We've seen it before so many times. There's a reason he is the best coach. Alabama, that's looked so lackluster really all season long, coming through in the end in the championship game when it matters the most. I'm not ruling it out. I'm not picking it because I think Georgia's just flat out better in every area of the football game.
But as Nick said, wouldn't it be the most Jim Harbaugh thing in the world to lose this game to Iowa right now?
Exactly. So that's the one I'd pick. I think Cincinnati will take care of business. And to Chandler's point, I think he was talking to us off air the other a couple minutes ago. You know, Cincinnati's not looked great at times this year either.
There have been issues. But every time we start thinking, Cincinnati's not looking great, then they just pounce them.
Yeah, they're fine. I think Cincinnati will handle business. I do like Oklahoma State over Baylor, though I do think that's going to be a good football game. But the one I would pick would be Iowa over Michigan.
I think Baylor is the one that I would pick right now, but they're so up and down, Baylor is.
Yeah.
The one thing that gets me is I was such a bad matchup for Michigan because how Michigan beat Ohio State was we're going to blow you off the ball. And they blew them off the ball all day long and just ran the ball. And it was like, we don't even have to pass. We'll pass here or there just to keep you a little bit honest. But it was about us blowing you off the ball. They ain't blowing Iowa off the ball. So can you beat them putting the ball in the air? Can you beat them with your skill position players? That's going to be the big question that Michigan has. I think they can, but it would be the most Harbaugh thing in the world to lose this game. That's Eric Kane. I'm Will West. We'll come back on the other side. Tennessee basketball getting going this year. Now that Tennessee football is over, huge win over Presbyterian last night. What does Tennessee's basketball team look like so far this year? We give you the recap coming up next. Starting lineup, 99.1, the Sports Animal.
What do we know about the Tennessee basketball team 6 games in? I mean, it's really only been tested one time, and it was, well, I'll say 3 times, because that Tennessee Tech game, that tested the patience of Rick Barnes. But that Hall of Fame tip-off classic where Tennessee got drilled by Villanova, then responded well against Carolina the next day. I mean, is there any big takeaway 6 games in we can say that definitively we know about the Tennessee basketball team? Because I still think it's too early, but a couple of mine real quick. It's a team that will shoot the 3. It's a team that, for the most part, is efficient shooting the 3, 3rd in the SEC, 2nd in 3-point shot attempts. But it's a team that wants to play a lot of guys, but it's got to continue to trim down that rotation because there are way too many guys playing right now.
Yeah, so I think you can go up to 9 and you'd be fine. I do. I think that it's going to be hard to get to feed all those mouths because you've got, and it's a good problem to have right now. If you're Rick Barnes, is that I've got a lot of guys that I can count on to go into a game because you're going to need dudes at some point in time. Foul trouble's going to happen for somebody. Injuries are going to happen, things like that. So it's good to be able to have a nine-man rotation. I think it benefits you somewhere down the line. To have a rotation like that, once you start getting into trying to play 10 or 11 guys, it's hard for dudes to get into a rhythm. And the key is you got to figure out what that rotation is. That's what this time of year is for, is test yourself early in those Thanksgiving tournaments. And, you test yourself against Villanova. You test yourself against North Carolina. Then you play some jabronis and you say, okay, let's work on the things that we've learned about ourselves in those games. And let's start in the month of December working on a rotation by the time we get to SEC play. Because that's really going to determine what kind of team you are and what your seeding is for the NCAA tournament. Right now, Tennessee looks like they can go 9-10 deep pretty easily. The two guys that I would say have stood out, Kenny Chandler is everything that was advertised.
Oh, yeah.
Does like to score more than I thought he was going to. I will say that. I thought he was going to be a run the offense first point guard, not a score first point guard, but he is a score first point guard.
Yeah.
But he's still 5 assists a game. We'll get it done. Vescovi has taken a massive step.
Oh, yeah.
Kumwa has taken the biggest step on the team. It's incredible the step that guy has taken. I will come back to the same thing that I've said about this every team since Grant Williams left about this Tennessee basketball team. Get your bigs involved. You will only go as far as you get your bigs involved. And I thought that they got exposed by Villanova. And again, people were freaking out about that loss. That's not a bad loss. Rick Barnes is fine with that loss.
How you lost it was a bad loss. But it's not a bad loss in general.
Yeah, but it's okay for them to learn that lesson.
Yeah.
The thing is, as we've gotten a few games along, you see what the tendency can be, right? The tendency can be we're going to shoot a bajillion threes and our guards are going to try to do most of the scoring instead of working the ball inside and trying to have a little bit of balance on the inside.
I think Tennessee's playing one too many guards right now. And not to say the one I would start diminishing the minutes would be Victor Bailey Jr. Not to say he should never play. He started last night, of course, as Triple J was still out. But I think everything Victor Bailey Jr. brings, you get from Justin Powell, and he's better, just simply better. I think, Huntley Hatfield's got to get his. Ziegler's got to get his. There's the three guys off the bench when Josiah's healthy. So I think when you're talking about trimming down those minutes and trimming down that rotation, that's what I would look to do. But overall, I think the bigs have got to be more involved as well. Fulkerson and Kumwa, it was a backcourt game last night. I get that. But they had four combined shot attempts. I mean, in the entire game, what are you doing? In the loss against Villanova, they were both, I think Fulkerson was like 3 of 4 and Kumwa was like 1 of 2. Get way more involved. I mean, you got to be way more involved. And I think Tennessee, when it struggles, it's, struggling to shoot the outside shot. And you saw that against Villanova. So, the Tennessee team, it's talented. It can do a number of different things, but I would agree with you too. I think Kennedy Chandler, he's probably the MVP of just setting things up and running this offense. And he gets to the basket as well, as does Zakai Ziegler. And I think the more you penetrate, the more you try to go to the rim, the more opportunities you create to kick out or pick up the foul and go to the charity stripe.
The more you work the ball inside, one, then the double team comes and somebody's open for a shot or open to penetrate whenever somebody tries to rotate and close out. So it opens up the things the guards want. If you can be, I don't want to say mature, but if you could be forward thinking enough to think, okay, let me get the bigs involved early. One, it helps every aspect of the game on the interior. If you can get them the ball earlier, gets them locked into the game a little bit better. They're better on the boards. It's something Bobby Mays showed us years ago, and he's been dead right when I've watched it ever since Bobby pointed it out. You get your bigs involved early, they're better defensively, they're better on the boards. They just are because they're just more tuned into everything that's going on. Two, it opens up everything else for you. It opens up your ability to drive. It opens up your ability to knock down the outside shot once you get the bigs involved early. And then from there, if you're a guard, especially in Rick Barnes' offense, you're going to get yours. And so don't go try to get it. Don't play hero ball. We don't need John Walls out there. We need people because nobody on this team is Sean Wall.
Ain't nobody, I was going
to
say.
So to work the ball inside because Kumwa's been fantastic. Fulkerson's been an all-SEC caliber player, and as he continues to get healthy, he should get closer to that as the season goes along. That's the thing that I'm looking at right now if I'm Tennessee that I would like to see change. I believe this Tennessee team will go as far as they get their bigs involved. But last night, you're right. I mean, they didn't play a ton of minutes, and they didn't have to play a ton of minutes. But four shots from Kumwa and Fulkerson and eight shots from Bailey Jr. is not a recipe for success. It's not.
Well, I mean, anytime Bailey Jr. goes in there, he's going to throw it up.
Yeah.
And it's always going to be a three. And last night he was efficient. Last night he played well. I mean, he was 4 of 8. You'll take that all day. it's when you're one of nine that you just you can't have out there on the floor.
Vescovi and Chandler were 2 and 9 between the two of them, right?
Yeah.
From outside. Now, you still won, and you didn't have to have them hit shots.
What's different about Vescovi this year in years past, he was 1 of 5 from 3, 6 of 11 from the field overall.
Yes.
He's finding more shots. He's creating for himself, whereas for the longest time, he was just a spot-up shooter, and he wouldn't do anything else, and that's where he's grown. Of course, Kennedy Chandler can create on his own. I mean, we've seen that all year long. I'm just afraid, you know, with a guy like Victor Bailey Jr., he doesn't do that. It's just he's a one trick pony, and when it's off, it's off. And it was on last night. And it was fun to watch. It was good.
One thing that I thought was a good sign, if you want to take my biggest takeaway from last night, one, Powell, I guess, knocking down threes the way that Powell knocked down threes.
Yeah.
Zickler knocking down threes the way that he knocked down threes. But just 24 minutes on the floor, and Fulkerson has 4 assists. That's something you need. Let it work the ball inside back out. Every coach will tell you get a higher percentage shot when you work the ball inside out than if you try to pass along the perimeter or come off of a screen and pull up with a jumper. So that's the thing I want to see that Tennessee didn't do last year. I think that caused them to leave early. That year before that Tennessee didn't do to cause them to leave early. Work the ball into the interior at times so you can get those assists from Fulkerson. And Kamwa's not a guy that he's got to add that to his game, but he's already taken huge steps. And if you could just get those guys somewhere in that 8-9 shots a piece range, sometimes Fulkerson, you want him to have 12 to 15 shots, I think, in a game. And so if you're Kennedy Chandler, you got to take a back seat to make sure that Fulkerson's getting his at times. But he had 7 dimes last night. Kennedy Chandler did as well.
I feel like we haven't seen that in forever from John Fulkerson. I mean, I'm talking like 2 seasons. Am I wrong? Yeah.
No, you're right. He was injured a lot of last year, and he just wasn't the same. And
the offense ran through him 2 years ago, and he was getting maybe 14 to 15 shot attempts.
And I think you should run the offense through the two bigs right now. I do. Because, again, in this offense, the guards are always going to get theirs. But if you work it through them, there's just so much more you can do. And it allows defenders to be closing out on them and things like that on the move. And then you can try to take them off the dribble a lot easier.
Tennessee, you're not going to play Rory Barnes if you can't play defense. Last night, suffocating. 25 turnovers led
to 7 steals for Kennedy Chandler in that game.
Yeah, and that's another thing. That's an underrated part of his game. Not only does he protect the basketball, he doesn't turn it over, he gets his assists, he's a scorer. He's a good defender out on the perimeter as well. Tennessee forced 25 turnovers, 33 points off those turnovers, 37% for the game, 38% for the game for Presbyterian. They didn't crack 40 points until like 4 minutes left in the game. I mean, that is and again, this is Presbyterian, I get it, but those type of things are winning recipes for Rick Barnes.
That's Eric Kane. I'm Will West. We'll come back on the other side. Josh Heupel joined the EA show yesterday to put to rest any rumors that he might be interested in the Oklahoma job. You'll hear that audio next. Starting lineup, 99.1, the Sports Animal.
That he does.
Yes.
Do you think he'll be as active?
So if you'd like to join the cesspool, you tweeted us during on the cesspool that Twitter is at TSL991. All right, Josh Heupel yesterday joined the EA show, and EA did point this out on social media, so I think it's fair to say. Eric did not reach out to him. And Heupel wanted to make sure he could put to bed, hey, let's put to bed any of these rumors about the Oklahoma job. So he asked to come on, and Tennessee's people asked him for, you know, hey, can he come on? And of course, yeah, it's anytime the coach wants to come on our station and say,
yes,
let me put to bed the rumors that I could be leaving. The answer is yes every single time.
Run down, wad it up, throw in the trash.
Yeah, absolutely. Free money. That's what that is. Yeah. Jeff, we just stole money from you today because it's just easy to do at that point once Josh Heupel says he wants to come on. Here is the exact quote Josh Heupel gave Eric Age yesterday and Logan Ward when talking about the Oklahoma rumors.
Yeah, as you build a successful program with your staff and players, certainly, you know, your name has an opportunity to come up for different openings. For myself and my family, we absolutely love Knoxville, and we came to Tennessee because of the power of the T, believed in the power of the fan base and the opportunity to build something extremely special. It's a program that's top 10 in the history of college football wins and first round draft picks, and had been through, you know, some uncertainty in recent times, but we love being in Knoxville. That's home for us. I love being in the building with our staff and our players. And I know, feel stronger today than I did 10 months ago when I first took the job, about what we're going to be able to do and how quickly we're going to be able to get there. I know we're building a championship caliber football team and program, and excited to continue on that venture with our current players and staff.
Coach, we appreciate everything you're doing, and we know that every time there's an opening in the future, your name, you're going to be like, you'll be like Mike Gundy, but better. Every time there's an opening, everyone's, oh, is he going to go? Is he going to go? So what I heard you say is you're staying at Tennessee and coaching football, yeah? For this year, for now.
Yeah, we absolutely love Tennessee and believe what we're going to be building here. And can't be happier and more excited about what we're going to be able to do next year and in the coming years.
Look at the Big J journalism on Ainge with the making sure that he got the so you're saying you are staying, right? Look at Ainge.
My favorite part about whole thing is Ainge's tweet saying, "We didn't ask for the interview. I don't do that. That's not my thing." But no, yo, you're right. I mean, the follow up there to ensure and all that. And he did say yes,
for clarification's sake, right?
And I understand the half, glass empty ears out there will say, "Well, he never said he's not going to take it." But I mean, what more do you? I mean, look at the context.
How much
there.
More do you look? Everybody's got the battered vault syndrome around here. I understand. Keep it a cup on. I think you're fine.
I think you're fine as well. So, you asked for that interview. You're granted that interview. You talk about how much you love Tennessee and all that type of stuff. I mean, I think context is everything here. So I didn't think, Tennessee fans had a reason to worry before, but I do get it. I understand it. I didn't think there was a reason to worry before. And after hearing that interview yesterday, I certainly don't think there is one now.
All right. So, okay, everybody's, what around the issue here when it comes to there's beef, not necessarily beef, but there are hard feelings with Josh Heupel and Bob Stoops.
Yeah.
From what I have been told, and you probably know more about this than I do from the Tennessee side, I just have heard vague rumors throughout the college football world that he was kind of the scapegoat for the offense not working. And Heupel didn't take too kindly to that. And maybe some things were said.
But still, though. Let me.
It was working.
But words.
It, yeah.
36 points per game, right?
Yeah.
Around there.
Yeah, so they were still really good.
Yeah. So it's like, it's my understanding is, and this was years and years and years ago, is, the offense maybe not was exactly what Stoops wanted it to be. It was working, getting the points. I mean, the defense is horrible, right?
Yeah, that was the problem. The problem was the defense. Defense is horrible. And
you fire an offensive coach.
And you threw Heupel under the bus to, as the sacrificial lamb.
Yeah.
For the defense being terrible, which makes no sense whatsoever. Maybe Heupel had something to say about it, is what I was told.
Yeah, maybe so. I mean, I wasn't there or anything, but I was told earlier this week when I didn't even ask about it, just bringing it up in conversation about the Oklahoma opening and all that, and someone very close to the situation says, laugh, 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 cuss word. No chance in cuss word that's ever going to happen with Bob Stoops there. So, I don't believe.
And Bob Stoops clearly is there. He's the interim coach right now. And I'll be real. I do wonder if that led to a little bit of Lincoln Riley deciding I'm going to go somewhere else. Because
it's always in the back of your mind, right?
Because he even mentioned I can go do my own thing and build a program myself.
But that is the guy that literally got you the job.
It is. And I'm sure he doesn't.
So I think he's very thankful and all that. I don't know, Lincoln Riley perspective.
There's a difference between sometimes it's hard to have a new challenge when you're in that situation. It's very much like Wisconsin.
Yeah.
So you could love the guy to death and you could look, and look up to him and respect him as a mentor and also say, I want to prove something on my own and go accomplish something on my own and be able to do it my way exactly instead of having to do it Bob's way.
You got to take that flower out of the pot and put it in the garden, right? And just let it grow. I learned that from Boy Meets World. Yep. I mean, but for real, it makes a whole lot of sense here. And so I just, I didn't think that. I mean, if you're Oklahoma, he should be on your list. I don't think he should be one or two or three.
Oh, to me, it would have been, does Bob Stoops want this job back again? Yes or no? And if the answer is no, one, I'd have tried to work it out because Josh Heupel was a major part of my program, the renaissance of my program. So I would have already tried to work that relationship out, period. Also, biblically, put your offering aside and go to the person that has a problem with you and try to make that right. So that's the way I would have handled it to begin with. Josh Heupel would have been the first phone call I'll make, not named Bob Stoops. I just, former quarterback at the program, who was an excellent quarterback, offensive system that's awesome. He's really good. So that also plays in. To me, that would have been the first guy I looked at if Bob Stoops doesn't want the gig.
Yeah.
We'll see what Oklahoma does and where it goes from here and if Bob Stoops does want the gig. But it does seem like, for right now, if you're a Tennessee fan, I'm not saying take the cup off. I'm saying that you can relax in the cup.
We've seen crazier things happen in coaching searches, 2017. But
I will say this too. Look, Josh and I were on the air here when everything happened with Lane the day that Lane left and said if Lane gets offered the job, he's out. You know what I mean? Like point blank, that's what's going to happen. And I had a source in L.A. Jimmy had sources here, and we put the two together, and that's why we said that. So if I thought there was a chance Heupel would take the job, I would tell you. I don't believe there's a chance Heupel's going to take the job.
Yeah, I don't either.
I don't think he's going to get offered. because I think there's some bad blood there, and I don't think that he's going to take the job because there's some bad blood there.
So, and good on him for kind of recognizing, was that needed yesterday? No, it was not.
Get out in front.
It was not necessary, but it was good.
It's always silly not to get out in front. There's something that years ago, Gunnar Oda IVK said this to me years ago, whenever there was a coach here, and I don't want to say who it is, that wouldn't talk about what a situation was. And Gunnar looked at me and said, I just think that's a bad decision, because if you don't tell your story, somebody's going to tell it for you.
Yeah.
And you might not like the way that they tell it. And so always get out in front and take advantage of those opportunities. Use the media to your advantage. The media is nothing but a conduit to the fans. Mm-hmm. So use that to get the correct message that you want portrayed to the fans, because otherwise you're allowing someone to misinterpret it by accident.
Yeah.
And you have people that are in the media that are going to misinterpret it on purpose to try to create. I mean, let's be honest. ESPN and Skip Bayless have people whose entire career has been about intentionally misconstruing things through the media to the fans to be able to create, you know, anger and outrage. So that was very smart by Heupel and Bill Martin and everybody there to get Heupel on the air to say, no, I'm not going anywhere. This is where I want to be. Let's put this to bed, especially we're 2 weeks away from signing day to day.
Yeah, I think it's huge. And plus, when he says this is where I want to be and I love it here, I mean, I understand you can take that as coach talk, because I cover Josh Heupel and he is great at the coach talk, let me tell you. But I truly do believe that he and his family do love being here. I mean, they enjoy their time here. They have dinner at ball calls. He lines up and he enjoys talking with the fans and meeting the fans and not just blowing them off and taking those opportunities. So I believe when he says he does want to be here.
And you know, you and your boss can work well together.
Yep.
And you have done it at two places now. You know what the expectation's going to be for you. That matters. I'm just gonna be very real. That matter. That absolutely matters. It would matter to you out there listening to us on your job. For Josh Heupel, this is a job. And so if he's got a situation where I'm being compensated well, I've got it rolling, and this is successful, I'm in a place where my family likes to be, and I know that I work well with my boss, and this is all good, and that we have a good rapport, and I would also say this: not a lot of athletics directors are going to put Heupel in a position like he wants to be in. Heupel doesn't have to be a brand here. He just can go coach ball.
Mm-hmm.
And Bill Martin does a great job of making sure the branding stuff gets out through Tennessee Sports Information. Not every school is going to have somebody that's going to do that. So he doesn't have to be the one telling the story all the time, but here or there, you need to be the one telling the story. And good on Heupel for doing that yesterday with the EA. That's Eric Kane. I'm Will West. Do you want to play the game? 656-9900. We need two callers right now. You got a chance to win free pizza, Papa Murphy's gift card. Coming up next, starting lineup on 99.1, The Sports Animal.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draftaccess to register for free entry today.